Joining me today is Anna Marie Stone, and she is coming to us from Centralia High School in Centralia, Missouri, where she's serving as a chapter officer this year. Anna Marie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for letting me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Now, how long have you been part of the FFA?
Well, see, my dad's my advisor, so I've been part of the FFA for all my life. So at our school, we have a junior FFA, so I was able to start that in sixth grade, and then I've been an ag class officially for 1 year, and then I'm taking another one this year.
Oh, wow. So your junior FFA program, you get to start really early. Sixth grade is about as early as I've ever heard.
Yeah. So we at our school, we don't have like a class, but we have like, it's like a pass kind of, and it's for like 30 minutes maybe. And we have some of our chapter officers go over and they play games with the little kids and just try to get them familiar with what they'll be doing in an ag class.
Okay, interesting. Well, now you say you've been in the FFA your whole life because your dad's your advisor. Now, do you say that lovingly or do you say that like, it's been FFA every day that I can remember?
No, I definitely say that lovingly. I'm not very good at sports and I don't get very much playing time. And FFA has definitely been a place where I can fit in. And at our school, we don't have very many country kids. Uh-huh. And FFA is definitely where I feel like I fit in the most and I'm able to talk about the stuff that I enjoy talking about and not talking about who's going to be the point guard for the upcoming year.
You know, that's interesting to hear you say that. Well, you mentioned being a chapter officer. I understand that you've just been selected to be a chapter officer. Will this be your first time coming up?
Yes, this will be my first time ever being a chapter officer.
Okay. Now, we were talking off the air. Centralia does it kind of uniquely, a more unique fashion than I've ever heard of before. Would you mind explaining to everybody how your officer team works and how you share responsibilities?
Sure. So our officer team is considered, we are called an elective committee. We have 14 officers, and our officers don't have titles. They're just part of a team, and we do it so that every officer can get the chance to experience what one officer would be in the 4 years, and we get to experience in 1 year.
So you get to take a turn at every job and every form of leadership then?
Correct.
Well, now, let's talk about what life is like away from school for you. So are you on a farm or in town, or you know, how does life look like for you when you're not at school?
Okay, so I live on a very small, diversified livestock operation where, let's see, I have a GMO-free organic broiler operation, and I usually run about 100 chickens in what we call chicken tractors. That's pretty much what I do when I'm not at school.
Wow. You're running those 100 chickens, and then are you selling all those chickens to customers after you've raised them up to finishing weight?
Yes, I am. I market them at local farmers markets, and then also I have my own Facebook page, so market them on Facebook, and I just try to get them sold. And then I also, recently, I went into two grocery stores, and now the grocery stores are carrying my chicken.
Very cool. That is impressive. So, now how did you find your way into selling them at two separate grocery stores?
So, basically, I just jumped in feet first, expecting I would be told no, and if I was told yes, then that was going to be a huge blessing. So, I walked into the store, and I said, who's in charge of the freezer department here? And then they told me his name, and I said, hi, my name's Anna Marie. I own my own GMO-free organic broiler operation, and I was wondering if you'd be willing to market my products. And he said, sure. I was like, praise the Lord that you just said yes.
Well, you learned a valuable lesson right then and there, is that the worst thing that can happen is they say no, but they might say yes.
Exactly right.
Very cool. So have you always been an entrepreneur? I mean, what lit this fire for you?
I've always been a social butterfly and the selling person in my family. I love getting to talk to the community and I enjoy meeting people. What lit this fire for me? I don't know. I was kind of self-driven because I wanted to be able to get out and I wanted to be able to sell customers stuff that I know was raised right and I know was raised ethical and try to give them something better than what they may receive in the store.
Interesting. So where did the idea to raise the chickens, I'm assuming on pasture with the chicken tractors, where did this come from?
The chicken tractors. So last year was my first year I ever tried this out. and we were trying to figure out a cheaper way to raise them that would still get them the correct nutrients they would want. And we talked to the guy at the processor, and he told us about these. So then I looked them up online, and I spent basically all school year trying to figure out what design would be right for me and right for the amount of chickens that I needed to fit into one, and just how would be the best way to go about building one so it would best suit me and my product.
Did you build or manufacture the chicken tractors yourself?
That would have to be a no. My brother, I do not like carpentry. That stuff's very boring to me.
Okay.
I did have my brother do it for me, though. He loves that kind of stuff, and he loves building it. I just sat there and bossed around. That's pretty good at being bossy.
Okay, so you decided that you were going to be the supervisor on that project, the project manager.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. And so how's the response been from the people who have consumed your chicken?
So every time I see a customer, they always have a huge smile on their face. I actually had never bought store chickens, but apparently on store chickens, there's sometimes like leftover feathers. And the most recent comment I got on my chicken was it was the cleanest chicken they have ever eaten. And also, I normally get told that they are extremely tender, and my customers just love them. And most of my customers are repeat customers.
Awesome. Well, you mentioned that you're marketing on a Facebook page. What's the name of that Facebook page? I'd like to look it up and link to it.
My Facebook page is called Stony Creek Country Fresh Chicken.
That's great. I love the fact that you're marketing with that.
Thank you. I enjoy using the social media part. It allows me to reach people that may not be reached otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is great. I'm excited for you on that business part, Anna Marie. Now, let's talk about your Charlet operation. I just kind of glanced right over that, but you said you have your own purebred Charlet operation. What do you want to see this develop into?
Well, this may sound kind of silly, but so each of my cows' names are State.
Okay.
So my goal is, so I will have one cow per every state. That's my goal currently. And I have my own little rule that if I have a cow and it's already named a state, then it can't be named another state because that means I'll get to buy more. So I have Alabama.
Yeah.
And she had Montgomery. So Montgomery wasn't allowed to be named a state name because I need to buy more. And that is a good way to convince my dad to let me buy more.
And so the offspring, they're going to be named after cities or counties or something like that within their state.
Yep.
Well, that is creative marketing. There is no question about that, Anna Marie. I would have never thought of that, and I think I'm a good marketer. You're awesome. So tell me where you want the business to go. Do you want to be selling registered seed stock at some point? Is it going to always be a show animal type business, or where do you want to see it go?
I would love to be able to sell to other kids in my county. I don't know. So mine aren't really like super, super showy, but I do pretty good at my county fairs. So I just want to sell to other kids in my county or surrounding counties that they can take a good heifer or steer to their county fair and do well with it.
That's awesome. Well, good for you. You know, that's really exciting that you've got all that going. So I know you're just getting ready to go into your sophomore year, but you're obviously a marketer. You're coming up with a great branding strategy on your cattle, with your chickens. You've done phenomenal stuff already. Do you want to stay an entrepreneur? Do you want to stay a producer of livestock and in non-GMO, like organically raised type meats? Is that something you want to continue to do, or what do you think you want to do as you go forward?
So I'm definitely going to keep my chickens GMO free. There's a bigger market for those around me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my cattle, on the other hand, I think if you feed them non-GMO stuff, I think they marble better and they just taste better. But my chicken business is definitely going to stay GMO-free, and then that's probably the only thing that's going to stay GMO-free or organic.
Interesting. So what you found then is if you're able to source feeds and do everything without GMOs, you're able to market maybe sell for a higher price, or there might be more demand for this kind of niche product that you've developed?
Yeah, so Columbia is a very, so Columbia, Missouri, it's about 30 minutes away from us.
Uh-huh.
They have a very diversified population, I would call it, and people there definitely there's definitely a market in Colombia. Also, there's Mexico is about 15 minutes away, and there's market there for there too. They just like knowing that what I'm selling them is healthier than what they're getting in the store.
Interesting. Okay. Well, good for you on identifying that niche market and then finding a way to serve it. I think that's it's a great way to go. It definitely gives you the best chance, I think, on a small scale of coming up with a viable option for farming going forward. Well, Anna Marie, I got to ask you, for another student out there who's got a business idea and they've got to walk into that grocery store and they've got to ask for who's in charge of the freezer department and they've got to overcome that resistance or that fear of going in and doing that, what advice would you have for them?
I would say dress nice, because when you dress nice, I think you're a little bit more comfortable in your skin and you look more presentable to the person that you're wanting to be talking to. Don't be shy. Before you go in, practice what you're going to say to them, because you don't want to go in and not know what you're saying, because that would be a little bit embarrassing. But just go in feet first, because like you said, the worst thing they can tell you is no. And you know what? That's okay, because the grocery store down the road may think that that's the coolest idea that they've ever heard.
Awesome. Great advice, Anna Marie. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all this with us.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.